You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, now let's go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. All right, joining us now here on the Sports Map Radio Network is Charlie Pelillo, radio host for KFNC in Houston. Charlie, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Good morning.
Well, great to have you back. And let's start with a happy topic, which is the Houston Astros off to a good start. They overcame trash cans being tossed their way, all that mocking. How resilient is this team in light of the whole scandal and all that remembering? Or is this going to be a distant memory pretty quickly?
I think the first time they visit most cities, there'll be reaction, pent-up animosity from no fan attendance. Last year, specific cities, the Astros opening in Oakland, divisional rival of theirs, then at the Angels, divisional rival, and in close proximity to Dodger fans to just drive down the freeway a little bit. When the Astros visit Yankee Stadium the first week in May, that will probably be a bit on the grumpy side, even with the limited attendance of about 11,000 at this point anyway at Yankee Stadium. But inevitably, it will subside over time. I really think, in part, for some people, it's just something to do at the ballpark. And if other people are booing and heckling, sure, I'll just go along with the crowd. We have 3 hours to pass here at the ball game. Obviously, no impact on the Astros, if anything, other than the "we'll show you" component. And what has not changed at all about the Astros is they're just teeming with talent. The lineup is at least six deep with players you'd consider just stud offensive players. Some youth in the rotation with Zach Greinke as the veteran anchor. And with the Oakland A's, just complete stumble bums out of the gate. The Angels are off to a good start, but they're going to need to show staying power. The Astros are the obvious favorites to reclaim their American League West title.
Yes, Charlie, so they're off to this amazing, blistering start. And, you know, I would tell the Oakland fans is like, hey, or Oakland in general, why don't you focus on beating them rather than focusing on all of your heckling? But didn't work for them, and it's good for us. What do you see? Put on your GM hat for a minute. What do you see with the Correa situation? Do you think, would you pay him, and do you think we're going to see him in an Astros uniform next year?
The smart play right now is that Correa is probably to move on. He has not been a very good player two of the last three seasons. He has not been a durable player, period. Right? He's had major time lost each of the last four full seasons played in Major League Baseball. And so that he sees Fernando Tatis getting $340 million, and the real problem is Francisco Lindor, mm-hmm. who's 10 months older than Correa, and 1 year away from free agency, he got $341 million. The Astros are just not going to go there, and if you look at the recent track record, the parade of big-ticket free agents who have walked out, right? The Astros aren't exactly having remorse now about George Springer with his 31-year-old two injuries, starting a six-year, $150 million with Toronto. Tough business, the emotional attachment that players have with fans and what guys like Springer and Correa have done, and especially in Correa's case, in a couple of their postseasons. But you have to play the short game and the long game. You can't pay everybody top-of-market salaries, even though the Astros are much more a have-market financially than not. You know, they're top 10 in revenues. Well, this is the third year in a row that they're top seven in payroll. They start this season number four after having been number two last year. So Jim Crane and his ownership group cannot be accused of being cheap. A long-term mega-dollar Correa investment would be the actuaries would say that's a bad move. The flip side is if Correa finally stays healthy and combines that with the monster play that we know his talent level makes him capable of, well, then some team is probably going to go to at least 7-8 years and maybe in the $30 million plus range. It would just be extremely surprising if that would be the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that's going to be a big price tag for him. We're talking to Charlie Pelillo, who is a radio host on KFNC Houston. So how impressed are you by Shohei Ohtani's start this year?
Well, do it for more than a week. We know he can throw 100 miles per hour. We can know he can hit one 500 feet. He's kind of a micro example of Correa in the more macro, David. That Correa needs to do it for a full season. He's had weeks and months where he's been tremendous. But you want 10 years and more than $250 million. Don't just show me flashy. Show me sustained excellence. Otani, you know, if the baseball season is a 24-hour day, he has about 5 great minutes. So it'd be a phenomenal story if he can be, you know, a 20 cents on the dollar modern version of Babe Ruth. We know he's a very talented hitter. We know he has some electric stuff as a pitcher, especially the durability on the pitching side. That is a huge, huge question. But if the Astros are not to win the American League West, it probably would be in largest part because it's the Angels surprising them this season, and Otani has to be healthy and essential the most of the season, at least. You know, Mike Trout, we've seen for about 7 years now, he can't do it alone.
No, very true. Charlie, this just in, that at an emergency hearing this morning in Houston, a Harris County judge ruled that one of the plaintiffs that's suing Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, are you talking about this, must identify herself by refiling her lawsuit with her name attached. And I guess this is going to happen again for another 12 cases that have to be filed by Harden for the same outcome. What do you see? How do you see this playing out? And do you see Deshaun playing anywhere? And why hasn't the NFL put him on a commissioner's exempt list yet? Give us your take.
Yeah, because it's the NFL and they can drag feet and just screw things up very easily. That this is to this point, in terms of filings, it's almost all civil, right? Still no criminal charges have been filed. I think once criminal charges are filed, then the NFL will have no choice. I guess the caveat to that, Carla, is the NFL is doing nothing yet. So if they put him on the commissioner's list and Deshaun Watson's ineligible for OTAs or mini camp, that's pretty much a toothless penalty, since he probably wasn't planning on showing up for those anyway, given his whole anger with the Texans before this sordid and disgusting saga has played out, from which I think any reasonable person's standpoint, one side belongs in jail. But whatever the actual truth is, and to whatever extent we'll learn the actual truth, if Watson is the victim of an extremely orchestrated, amazing conspiracy against him, well, everyone on the other side should be in jail. And, of course, if Deshaun Watson's guilty of any percentage of these allegations, you know, whatever mental illness he might claim or a big cry with Oprah that might lie ahead or I didn't understand the error of my ways, well, whatever. They're all a bunch of victims. And I don't know that Deshaun Watson's NFL career would be over, but it certainly would be on hiatus. I think as a matter of civil law, I have no expertise on the matter, but you have the right to confront your accuser so that it's a civil matter, whether about money to any extent. I kind of thought that the judge, or at least the first judge, would rule in favor if you're going to go after him civilly. Well, he should be allowed to know who he is up against in addition to the claims that he is up against. The ultimate playout, I mean, my goodness, I cannot come up with a comp for this. Certainly not an active athlete of this high a level, a franchise quarterback. So I don't even want to spitball the way I think this might play out, whether it's cutting a whole bunch of checks or this winds up as a criminal matter. It's a fairly wide spectrum, and no matter which way you tilt the prism, it's just ugly.
Can you see Deshaun Watson playing for the Texans next year, or will he be traded before next season?
Yeah, as if the Texans don't have enough problems on the football side
exactly.
of the operation. Right? His trade value, if not liquidated, it's on deep, deep discount right now, and it will be curious to find out what the ultimate timeline of who knew what and when as to at least what was brewing. That Team Deshaun was supposedly apprised a month before we first heard of the first civil lawsuit. Where were the Texans on that, and is it possible that they were a little loath to trading Watson, knowing that, oh boy, if this stuff hits and we traded the guy and it's bad faith and is the league going to come down on us, or is our name mud even more than it already is around the NFL? No team with Watson's viability, his playing status up in the air, is going to trade a boatload of draft picks and or young stud players, right? The just monster return that the Texans projected to get for Deshaun Watson. And we look at their most logical, ardent possible suitors, and they've dropped like flies. The Jets trade away Sam Darnold. They're taking a quarterback at number 2. San Francisco moved up to number 3. They're going to take a quarterback at number 3. Carolina acquire Darnold, so they're not going to take a quarterback at 8 or trade for Deshaun Watson. So I imagine if he gets criminal clarity, and even meaning there will not be a criminal case made in the end, and even if he's facing a 6 or 8 game suspension, say from the NFL, you think of Ben Roethlisberger type case, there would be a market for Deshaun Watson because he's a great young player, and there are teams, no doubt, that would say we'll hold our nose, or no, some of our fans would, and that there would be blowback. Wait, this is the guy you're trading for? You know, Brett Favre, nothing to this extent, but unseemly circumstances where it's a sliding scale of what teams are willing to endure or move past based on the talent of the player involved.
I.e. Antonio Brown.
Another example. Too many of them.
Super Bowl champion.
Too many of them. And unfortunately, one right here in Houston with the Texans and Deshaun Watson. Charlie, thank you so much for joining us. That's Charlie Palillo. You can hear him on KFNC Houston each day. And during the lunch hour, that's when he's on, 11 to 1. Charlie, I really appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Take care.